Now that, without this thing of revelation, without this thing, our lives just wander hopelessly, hoping we arrive in the right harbor, if we're lucky. But in His presence, there's an exchange from God to us. Come on. What would this world look like if God began to give you a dream that would create huge unemployment in an area where there is the scourge of poverty and unemployment? What if God gave you a dream to study some sickness or disease and find a cure for what people, doctors and the medical field say is incurable? What would it look like if you came up with a financial understanding of the means by which to save an economy? Would that dream change lives? I saw this week on the news, is it Korea or Vietnam? I forget which. But the leader took them out of poverty and brought them Singapore, one of the most prosperous nations, from a poor poverty. And you know what? He might not be perfect. He might not have it all together. He's a bit autocratic. But he turned a country around from poverty into prosperity, and it rose on his leadership because he had a vision of something. How would our country be changed? How would our city be changed if God started giving some dreams like that? What would the church look like if we believed that signs, wonders, and miracles are the ordinary product of preaching the message? What if we believed that Jesus wanted to confirm His word with signs following, and every opportunity we got, we took it? And we don't get it right every time. We don't understand that, and we have to live with some unexplained mystery and unexplained questions. God is speaking, and He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to us so He can speak through us. And His only limit is He wants His kingdom to break into earth, so that on earth as it is in heaven. That's why the Word became flesh. Come on. That's why the Word became flesh. God's got something to say. And they call it good news. And that's why Jesus came around and said, wherever He went, He proclaimed good news of the kingdom that was coming. Because Jesus had a message. He had a message that kept Him up. He had a message worth laying His life for. And when we find that message, when we find that revelation and understanding, and we meditate on it, and it becomes revelation to us, you will even be willing to lay your life down for it. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Are you hearing Him, church? Can I pray for you? Let's stand up together. I want to pray now that spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want you to be brutally honest. If you're here and you're serious about this morning, if you don't feel like you're hearing from God right now, I want you to come out to the front again. We're going to do another coming out to the front. Just come out to the front. If you're saying, I don't know, I'm just not hearing God. I don't even know if I know how to. I don't know if I've ever, or anything like that. Or you're saying, I desperately need to be tuned in to what He's saying, but I'm not hearing. We're gonna just spend a time of warfare here, church. We're going to fight for our brothers. We're going to see some revelation and understanding. Come. Amen. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you say after me, Father God, thank You for speaking. And that You in this place, even when I don't know it, like a frequency going through the air that I can't see with my visible eyes, but is nonetheless real, You are here and You are speaking. Help me, Lord, tune in to what You say. I believe there's some more people. We're going to give you a moment. Just come up to the front. There's a few more people. All you're doing by coming out, there's not... Yes, I know it's a bit louder up in front. So that opens some people's ears. But really, what I'm talking about is just a sign to God. I'm needing to hear from you. I'm needing a spirit of revelation and wisdom. In this situation I'm facing right now. But Lord, I'm praying not just for those standing in front here, but for all of us right now. Don't you want to just reach out your hands, church, to those standing up here and say after me, Father God, grant them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, cause what is information to become understood. Thank you, Jesus. And just for yourself right now, just enjoy this moment of just peaceful being in His presence. Holy Spirit, this is why you came. This is why you came, Holy Spirit. This is why you came. This is why you came, Holy Spirit. So we could be reminded of everything Jesus said, that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see. This is why you came, Holy Spirit. Pray for a fresh anointing here this morning on these beautiful people. On these beautiful people. Fresh understanding, fresh revelation. Fresh revelation, fresh knowledge, fresh understanding. This morning in Jesus' name.
Just to say, church, that God will use us despite ourselves. I've truly discovered that again this week, that despite what we think of ourselves, despite what we perceive ourselves to be, God will use you. Do not limit God. He is an amazing, amazing God beyond what our minds can grasp. We are not to limit Him. Three times this week I have seen in the middle of shops and places the amazing love of God, where parents, there are parents that have obviously adopted children because they are of a different skin color, so it's not theirs, but the love that these parents are pouring on this child, these children, and these children, the way they are receiving it, it just was such a perfect example of how God loves us. When we come to Him in that childlike, right from babies, the babyhood of being a newborn Christian, when you've made that decision, and when you have absolutely surrendered yourself to Him physically, mentally, and emotionally, that is when He will meet you, church. He will meet you at that place of surrender, despite yourself, despite what you look like, despite where you've come from, and despite what situation you're in now, the financial situation, the emotional situation, despite that, God will use you. He will pour down His perfection and love on you. He is the only thing worth serving and living for. He is the only person that will bring perfect peace in your life. He is the only one that will give you satisfaction. You will never know the satisfaction of perfection until you surrender to God like He has. These parents have bestowed their love on these adopted children. These children are receiving that love, and that is how we must receive His love, and He will perfect us. Praise you, Father. Thank you. Oh, we worship you, Father. Thank you.
I just want to say to the people standing here at the front, I sense that there's confusion in your mind as you're saying, is this God saying this or is it not God saying that? And I think God has many choices that we can make that He will ultimately work out for good for each and every one of you because of His amazing love. And I just wanted to say the scripture that came to me is God has not given you a spirit of fear. So don't fear the choices that you make, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I just want to speak that over you. Love, power, and a sound mind. You do hear from Him.
Today. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way in our businesses, Lord. Have your way in our city, Lord. Have your way in our bodies, Lord. Have your way in this church, Lord. Be unto you forever and ever the glory, the honor, the majesty, the praise be to our God. Let us give the Lord a praise here this morning and say, Lord, to you be the honor. You are our desire. You are our passion. You are our meditation. You are our joy. You are our strength. Give you praise. Praise, give you on in this place. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Could you please take your seats for just 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And wasn't that a lovely time of worship? Well done, guys. Appreciate you, man. And I want the church to know that we may have one of the most professional, best drummers in this church, in this country. I'm telling you, if you know your music, now I need about 5,000 rand to close the drum pit in so we can modulate it, but that's not the drummer's fault. I tell you, we have got a professional drummer here. And all other drummers said amen, and I can learn from him. Amen. Also, just to draw your attention, everyone got notices when you came in? Happy? Aren't they looking good? Hold on, Kay, where are you? You're doing such a good job with the notices. It's all in there. Just to draw your attention to the fact tonight, evening service, the young people, the youth, are doing the evening service. So some of you who consider yourself young and youthful, come along, support, be part of it, come and encourage them. Bible says the Lord's restoring the hearts of the fathers to the sons and daughters. Amen? Thank you for your great round of enthusiasm here this morning. Thanks to the young people. So that's 5 o'clock this afternoon, 5 till 6:30, the young people. And everything else is in here. If you're visiting with us this morning, who's doing the welcoming lounge? Professor, stand up, and your dear wife, or your lady next to you. Oops, I might have missed it. Okay, I missed it, but you're standing up anyway, and I mean, so lovely. They will be here welcoming visitors this morning. Thanks, Ellie. And so if you're visiting, there's a cup of coffee over here. Come and say hi. And then just to finish up, over the last 4 weeks, before we take up the offering, I felt once a year at least you've got to do a series and some teaching on finance. The same reason you do it on worship is to build faith. Same way you do it on the gifts of the Spirit is for our good and for our sake and for our understanding. Not just information, but hopefully revelation. And I said we will take 4 weeks to look at this topic. And in week one, we looked at Philippians, where Paul spoke about partnership in the gospel and the importance of that, resulting in my God shall supply all your needs. Say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And then week two, we looked at Hebrews chapter 7, the priesthood of Melchizedek, and how Abraham gave to Melchizedek before the law was given. He glorified God that way. Honor God. We honor God when we bring our resources, our finances, into the priesthood, which give themselves to proclaiming the word of God on earth, and don't run other business necessarily. That the gospel was proclaimed first to Abraham, Galatians says. He's the father of our faith. Then during the law period, the Levites administrated that as they were waiting for the Messiah to come, who was the gospel. So Israel was the custodian. The priesthood and temple was the custodian of the gospel. And then Jesus came, who was the gospel. And all giving, whether it was before the law, during the law, after the law, ultimately is to the gospel. And what's the gospel's name? His name is Jesus. Jesus is the good news. He is the gospel. So our giving is a stewardship for that. And then last week, we looked at Malachi, which has been often misinterpreted, used illegitimately, and we put on New Testament glasses, went to Malachi, discovered we don't have to tear out the Bible because it's full of good news stuff. It's the Word of God, and we just looked at it through a New Testament perspective and saw that God is still out to bless His people. Amen? He's just not out to curse these people. Isn't that good news? And this morning I want to wrap up the short series with one or two things Jesus said. So important we looked at Paul, important we've looked at the old covenant, important we looked at before the covenant. just two or three scriptures around the subject that Jesus brings up. And the first verse I want to read is in Luke chapter 6. And Jesus, talking about finances here, is before the cross. But not everything Jesus says before the cross doesn't apply to us. We've got to discern it. Some of the stuff doesn't apply because he was raising the standard of the law and exposing self-righteous religion. But when Jesus is talking about the kingdom or about his father or about how those after him would live, that's very much applicable to us. So I've taken out a few passages that he's not speaking about the law. He's speaking about kingdom living. And Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Given it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over into your lap will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Jesus is just paraphrasing something Paul later will teach in Corinthians about sowing and reaping. And then in Luke chapter 16 is an interesting story. We're not going to read through the whole one from verse 1. In Luke 16, verse 1 to 2, Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account for your management because you are so fired.'" All right. So this guy's about to lose his job. There's no CCMA to appeal to. And what is this about? This guy goes out, this called the shrewd manager, if you read the account. Because he goes to all the people that owed his boss money, and he said, "You owe 10 barrels, I'm going to cut it down to 2. And you owe 5, I'll cut it down to 1. He goes around and makes friends with a whole lot of people. And then at the end of this parable, when you think that his corruption should have got him straight into jail, he gets commended. But he's not being commended for his shrewdness as much as he's been commended because he understood that money is a means of stewardship. He didn't just amass it and hoard it for himself. He knew he could use money more effectively by stewarding it. Why is it always easier to give away someone else's money? I want you this morning, when you take up the offering, would you put that in the offering, please? Now, why is that a whole lot easier? Give me my money back. Why is that a whole lot easier than some people feel about giving their own money? Because they understand that stewardship is when we are faithful with what belongs to someone else. And that's what this parable is all about. And that's why it's commended, because financial understanding starts with an understanding of I'm a steward of what belongs to God and what is given to me, and I do with it what he tells me to and shows me to do. Amen? Goes on, and in verse 9, of, a bit further down, he says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when you've gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." And the next verse, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can be also trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? This is the point Jesus is telling the parable about, because this parable is about how finances work in the kingdom. When we understand that what we have, we are stewards of, he says, if you got that perspective, your eyes are clear. There's no darkness in your eyes. And when you come with that attitude of being faithful in small things, you'll be trusted with bigger things. But it uses the word true riches, which is very interesting phrase that if you go and study up is speaking about spiritual riches. So what the message is here, if we're not faithful with physical things and practical things and normal things, but we want to have the great spiritual things, who can trust us if we haven't been that faithful in the small things? Now this is Jesus teaching using finances because he knows finances more than anything else will show us what's in our heart. And that relationship he shows us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. In Matthew 6, verse 21, he says, therefore, do not worry about, so do not say, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? Sorry, verse 34. We've jumped. Verse 21. We've jumped a bit there. 6:21. Okay. So don't, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Do you know that? Where our treasure is, there our heart is. It's almost like that provides the paving stones for the direction. And that's why Jesus wants to encourage an attitude of generosity, because when we are generous with our treasure, our hearts also go there. We, as parents, know it's not very difficult to be generous with our children, because our hearts are there. But he doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure must go. He says where your treasure is, there your heart will go. In other words, if you give someone to someone else's kids, you're opening up a way for your heart to be generous, your generosity to follow your treasure. And in the kingdom, in finances, as a pastor, I have to keep my heart pure. Yeah? Yes, we do have some final challenges, but that's been going on for 30 years, and we know God is supernatural, and he's our source, and he always takes care of things. And I'm scared to sometimes speak about finances. But you know, this is a very important subject, because it's going to show us which way our heart is going. And often when people say, I don't feel connected, I don't feel I belong there, I don't, and they're moving around from church to church to church, not always, but I can tell you 90% of the time, it's because their treasure's not made a way for their heart. Where you put your finances, you will feel a sense of engagement, of commitment, of faithfulness. Trust me on this. Just do it for 6 months and see if it hasn't changed. So, oh, Pastor, that's a real salesman move. That. Okay, let's leave that aside. Just do it for 6 months. Take an attitude of, I'm going to honor God with the first fruits of whatever I get. The size is not important. I'm telling you, you'll see this true in your life. It's like the man who went to the psychologist and said, I'm telling my wife we're getting divorced. He said, no, don't be in a hurry now. He said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the nicest husband for the next 6 months. I'm going to bless her, buy her things, take her out, speak good things over her. And when she's just thinking I'm the best husband in the whole world, then she's going to get what she deserves. And I'm going to give her a divorce certificate. So off he went. For 6 months, he just spoke nicely, loved her, gave, did everything, tried to serve, be humble. And guess what happened after 6 months? He had the most wonderful marriage you could ever imagine. Where your treasure is, there your heart goes. And then finally, in that chapter, Jesus says in verse 31. Now we're really going to verse 31. Do not worry about saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? Don't the pagans run after these things? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus has got such a better message. His kingdom is going to come to this planet, on this earth. It's free. Doesn't cost a cent. Might cost finances to pay some of the bills along the way. But he said, keep that as your vision. Keep the kingdom as your vision. And then watch me as I add all things unto you. Who's ready for all things? Okay, you four people, just come see me straight after the service. Who's ready for all things? Come on. All means all. All things mean there have been some contracts that haven't been honored in your life. All means we believe for those contracts to be honored in your life. All means there's some checks that got lost in the mail somewhere. All means all things, and we're believing for that to find your postbox. All things mean some people want to work. They're not lazy. They just can't find work. All things means all things for them. For those who don't have work, it means a job. For those who aren't able to buy food, it means being able to pay the bills. For those who, whatever, all means all. He says, you just keep my kingdom the focus center of what you I've done on earth. And I'll add all things to you. My friends, if this wasn't true, then giving your hard-earned cash should be the most crazy thing to do. Hello? But it is true. Because I know the person who said these things. So Lord, this morning, would you just cause our hearts to go from information to revelation? And yes, church, we are going to take up the offering now. And this is the last of the series on finances. But I want to ask you to prayerfully go before God. In fact, we've changed the envelopes because we used to have written on them tithing envelopes, something we inherited. And we thought, what are we doing? So we changed the names on them. Now, I'm going to pass some of those out. Can the ushers just do that quickly? And take it as a reminder that if God has called you, this is not for the visitors this morning. This is for those who are called to this house. If God has called you to be, now just take one. It's a reminder. You can read what's on it later. Just take one. And then pass it on, just so it's going very slowly. I see one little box circulating amongst a few hundred people. That's not going to work. Okay, so can some people just help? Just grab a few, pass them now. I just want to one per family. Just as a reminder, we've done a series, and you got to go away now and say, if this is my house where God has planted me, what is He saying to me in this area? If you're visiting here this morning, let me just say to you, we don't do this every Sunday. Lock the doors, bring out the cameras, put the spotlights on. No, no, we don't do this every week. We're doing this morning because this is something practical at the end of a four-week series that I've been teaching on the topic that's very important for us. And then I want to ask the ushers to come up. You see, they had these new little boxes made. Aren't these cute? Way too small. Or we need another 40. But that's got like a little slot in the side. You know what that's for now? Remember last week I told you about the people taking change? Isn't this a clever idea? Come on. Well done, Teresa and the ladies, Nita and Carrie and Janet. And it's an envelope size, and $1 million check fits perfectly in there. What, Alec? I'm listening to you. Speak now. Your servant is listening. Just says, yeah, given it will be given to you. Press down, shake it together. So anyway, these are the little boxes that we just had our audit report come through. Dave, myself, Terry, Akel, in a meeting, Nita. The auditor came in, gave us a report over the last two financial years. He says, you guys are squeaky clean. You're better than most churches I know. And your finances are way above in terms of audit and integrity and scrutinized. Well done. And he says, don't be discouraged. Across the church in general, there's been about a 30% financial knock as people are under pressure. And I know there's people in this church who give faithfully and they give what they can. And we appreciate that. And we give what we can. I do believe there are some people who aren't sure if they belong here, but by now you should know. And part of that is being faithful as giving glory to God with your finances, honoring God with your finances. So I say all that to say, ushers, would you please come up? We're going to take up the offering. And I'm watching my 100 rand there. Just kidding. Lord, we thank you for this house. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for your favor and blessing over HCC at this time, that you are doing abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Didn't you like that song they did this morning? That first one? Teresa? Can we do it? What? Oh, it's late. Can we? I warned you that some movies are going to be 2-hour movies and some are 1.5-hour movies. Today was a 2-hour movie. So I'm going to ask Teresa and Dave Walker and Josh and Arthur just one last time. And Bill's going to share. Where's the microphone?
Hi, can you hear me? The last prophetic word, you know, one thing the Lord has told us and challenged us on this morning is the kingdom of God, and we need to be an expression of the kingdom of God. And, you know, God is opening doors, amazing doors right now, and he's going to use us. He's opening those doors so that you can step through those doors and that you can be a blessing to the nations. And just this week, Anne and I landed up in the darkest area of Pinetown with all the druggies and all the people that really need help. And we landed up there. They're all the young kids, all on Wonga. Is it Wonga or Wunga? Wonga, Wunga, Wonga. Sounds like a dance, but you probably do dance when you have it. But anyway, we went in there, and a letter was given to the office, and we just followed up on that. The end result is this coming Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the church, we're having a meeting here with all these guys coming in. And we have the member of parliament, the press are going to be here, and all these people are going to be here. And all I'm asking for, if you've got time to spare, just to come and help. Zama might need a bit of help with the security. We need help with catering. We need all that sort of thing. Now, Ash and Kareen, can you just stand up quickly? They be at the table over there, and with the Brainy Bunch life group, we'll be over there. And if you want to be involved, please come along. We'll find a place for you. But this is an opportunity to reach out to the real problems that we have now, and that's the crime problems right here in our midst. So I just leave that thought with you. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about being an expression of what God is doing in our midst right now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up together. We're going to sing this through once as a prayer of declaration as we go today. And feel free after we sing it through. You can leave, can have coffee with us, do whatever you got to do. But let's sing the song together with an attitude of intercessory breakthrough warfare this morning. Josh, will you lead us?
I will not die. Arrest us.
Come and join the young people this afternoon if you can. God bless. Amen.